oh, well, we just saw Virginia Trioli. That's hosts the ABC breakfast program nationally.
You know what's weird about those people is that most of the time you see them, you are naked or semi-naked.
Oh, because they're in the morning or you're outside of a window.
I'm lying in bed.
Right.
Well, you're lying in bed going, looking at them, and they're sort of looking, talking to you.
And they're, well, they're properly dressed in a suit normally. Dressed.
But so when I meet them, I go, I feel a bit embarrassed because I've only ever looked at them. I don't sleep in the nude. I wear boxers.
No, no, I have pajamas. I have a full suit. You get the full suit, what, flannel long, pajamas, you bet.
Long.
Yeah.
And do you put that with a flannel sheet?
Yeah, I love it. But when it's too hot,
it's
I have short pajamas.
Flannel on flannel is too much.
I love it. Unless you blanket. Overheated.
Unless you blanket.
No, no, my wife won't have one. No. I love them though when you go to a motel and they've got an electric blanket. I love it.
Really?
But Virginia Trioli waved to me, so I waved back.
Sorry.
I wasn't going to do any. I wasn't going to wave to her. We were at quite a distance, weren't we?
Well, she had her gym gear on.
Yes, yeah, so she'd obviously been working out.
Working out. And
she didn't wave at you.
Well, we've never met.
But she smiled at you.
Well, I smiled at her.
Right. She gave you that showbiz.
I know you, but you don't know me. Oh, no, hang on. We
know each other, but we've never met.
Yeah. I think, you know, pound for pound, on it, she's a great interviewer.
Oh, yeah.
She's
fantastic.
Imagine if you'd done something wrong.
Oh.
And then Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia turns up.
You go, gee, lie down, throw the towel.
It's a real skill, that sort of interviewing too. It's a really big skill. And you got to have real, because you know what it's like when you've got someone sitting in front of you. I've interviewed the prime, ScoMo.
You've interviewed him?
Yeah, on Nova when I was filling in. And I really wanted to have a go at him, but it's quite hard when they're sitting 4 feet away from you and their security guards are standing next to you. Yeah. But I still had a go at him. But
what's interesting is when you meet them in the green room and you go, you're not a bad bloke. And then the red light goes on and they turn into politician man.
Yeah.
And you go, you know what, more of the green room guy, less of the politician man, you might win a few more votes.
Exactly.
Because there's a vulnerability to them. The guards go up when the red light goes on. And it's understandable, but not. Because you go, if you could, and you see them trying to play both sides of the fence occasionally, you go, oh, you're still not letting your guard down. You're being, you're doing a version of yourself.
Bill Shorten suffers from that. They both suffer from that, our leaders. You know, I remember being at Steve Izard's Christmas party. I reckon you were there a long time ago when I was working on, he used to produce a lot of sketch shows that we all worked on.
Who did?
Steve Izard.
Oh, Steve Izard.
His company did.
Yeah.
And then he'd invite you to his Christmas party at the end of the year. And it was
in
always
his house, was it?
Toorak, by the river. Mm. And anyway, and it would be hilarious. It'd always be comedians, writers and actors, and then Liberal Party dignitaries. And so we're standing there and then someone goes, is that Peter Reith over there? Now, if people don't know, Peter Reith was one of Howard's ministers. He was a hardcore right-wing guy. He was the one who killed children overboard. I think that involved Virginia Trioli. He was the one who did the children overboard scandal.
Good callback.
Yeah. Virginia Trioli interviewed him, I'm sure. Anyway, so he's standing there with his wife, and I said to all the other comedians, it's Peter Reith. I'm going to push him in the pool. Watch this. And so I go over. And before I say anything, he goes, hey, what's your name? You're Dave.
Oh, I love you.
Yeah, my sons love you. You're on the radio, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. No. Then I shake his hand and meet his wife. He goes, oh, you're going to meet my kids. Kids come over.
Look,
I'm like,
we love you.
What a great guy.
You saved my marriage. Laughing at you. And you're going, oh, my God, oh, he's the
Then I go back and they're like, what happened to pushing him in the pool? I go, oh, he's all right. It's just, you know.
No, he's a good bloke.
No, he's all right, Peter Reith. He seemed like a good bloke.
Showbiz stories about politicians. I haven't got any. I've got a couple, but we haven't got time.
Here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, well, we are listening to Somehow Related. We won't explain it. As the guy who invented Wheel of Fortune said, don't explain it, just do it.
Well, you can work it out from the title. There's enough in the title that you know.
Wheel of Fortune?
Do you think podcasts should explain what they are in the title, or should it be just like an innocuous name?
Like a Spicks and Specks sort of title where you go, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't mind a title that explains what it does.
I don't mind either. Yeah.
Because there are some shows on TV where you go, oh, that title, like Law and Order. That says to you, it's a show about cops and lawyers.
How do you feel about having a show named after you?
Oh,
well, you did. Your pilot was called Dave.
Dave, yeah, but that's when we first entered commercial radio with Kate Lanebrook and Husey, me and Kate tried to make the show be called The Dave Hughes Show. Because Kate's like, just yeah, yeah. It'll be good, Hugh. We'll just call it the Dave Hugh Show. Our names don't need to be in the title. And he's for a minute, he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be a – no, hang on a minute. Because you can see no responsibility from us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, if it's something that you're invested in and that you put your own time into and that you're not confident, but you've done as much as you can, yeah, have your name in the title. I don't care.
I could see a show called O'Neill.
O'Neill.
Would it be? I think it'd be a hard-hitting.
Yeah, hard-hitting.
Yeah.
Like a Hinch.
Yep. Yeah. Tonight on O'Neill.
We talk about Peter Reith and what a good guy he is. Virginia Trioli, my friend, drops by. And funny man, Glenn Robbins.
For a lighter moment.
You can come out at the last 5 minutes, like the, you know, like the John Clark, Sammy J thing. Just come on at the end and do a bit of funny piano and sing a song.
Okay. So.
What are the topics? Should we get them?
Yes.
Cornflakes and masturbation.
Hang on.
That's did, cool.
Sam, you, say, oh Sam, can guess. You say that again, please?
Cornflakes and masturbation.
Certainly enjoyed them when I was a younger person, that's for sure.
What?
A teenager.
Cornflakes.
Like, yeah. And the other one, well
hang on, let's just start with cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
I've got to get my head around.
Yeah, the other one. Well, cornflakes.
You know the image I have of cornflakes, the first thing that pops to mind is going around to someone's house and they haven't cleaned up properly and you look in the sink and there's a bowl with milk and dead cornflakes.
Cornflakes stuck on them. And these days, it's muesli, I reckon, is the cornflake.
Because an oat
stuck on the bowl.
Because if you have your muesli or you, and then you just
wash the bowl out.
You got to rinse the bowl.
Kids don't though. My kids don't.
It sticks on there like bird poo to a car.
It's the number one thing you'll find in dishwashers down the bottom when you're cleaning out the muck.
It's a bit of oat.
Oats, or if you had cornflakes or rice bubbles.
Because you got to pat your digestion on the back and go, wow, you break that stuff down.
Yeah.
We put it through the dishwasher and it couldn't break it down.
Yeah. Yeah, cornflakes, so. I can't remember. When I went on school camp with my son, who's in grade 4 a few weeks ago, about a month ago, they have cornflakes there. And all the kids get into it because these kids wouldn't have cornflakes at home, I reckon. They have cornflakes and rice bubbles.
Oh, yeah, because it'd be a special treat.
Yeah, because it's viewed as a little bit unhealthy now.
Oh, of course it is. Because I remember it was absolutely fine. Cornflakes.
With sugar.
With sugar.
Yes.
And you were kind of being sophisticated when you put sugar on.
We had Cocoa Pops. We had Cocoa Pops for a long time, and then Mum went through a healthy stage where she'd sprinkle all bran over the top. Like, what? And then we had these bigger ones. I remember when I was writing my book, The Summer of 82, I looked them up. We progressed to a bigger, fatter Cocoa Pop that had a pirate on the cover of the cereal.
Oh, gee.
Like cocoa balls or something.
So I was trying to have a bit both ways.
It's a bit more adult than the monkey. You know, the Cocoa Pops was, Coco Lasso.
Back in those days, so if you poured your cereal out, a toy would come out.
Oh, I've got some of those toys at home.
And imagine if I dare say some kids would have eaten them.
Yes.
Damn, I got a gorilla caught down my throat.
we used to fight over those toys, didn't we?
Oh, and, yeah, because there's only one per pack.
Yeah, and you'd open up the pack and see if you could see it in the bag. But I was in an antique shop or somewhere in Queensland, and I saw a whole lot of them. I bought them. Those cereal toys.
So where are they now?
I got my son's got one. I don't know what happened to them, but they were great. They were Tooley Birds, they were called, and they're put up by Kellogg's, and they're a combination of a bird and a tool. So there's a pecan with a spanner on his head. If you look them up on the internet, they're great.
We are really talking to a special audience because I remember there was ones that you could put together and then you put a bit of string on them and you hang a washer off the edge of that, and they would walk across the.
They were great.
See, we didn't need bloody Facebook or.
No, we had cereal toys.
These cereal toys would give you minutes of fun, seconds of fun.
They're still for younger kids. They still. My son loved them. He loved these. He would play with them all the time. The little cereal toys that I had.
Banana? Did you put banana on your cornflakes?
Yeah, more on Cocoa Pops. So I was more on Cocoa Pops.
So Cocoa Pop. Oh, so you more you didn't do that because then they went Special K, which was kind of like
Sultana brand, which I still don't mind. Sultana brand.
Sultana brand. That's
I'm at a hotel lobby.
You'll sort of show everyone that you're going the healthy end of the pool.
No, I often go Weet-Bix with Cocoa Pops because that's what I have every day now. Weet-Bix
because they're Coco-losso.
Coco-losso. That's Cocoa Pops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weet-Bix are more, you know.
That's more, I remember my brother after school used to have like six Weet-Bix. Yes. Come home and have cereal after school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember thinking that was really cool.
Yeah. Seinfeld. Remember Seinfeld was a big cereal eater?
Yeah. big on the cereal.
But you have like Fruit Loops and Frosties now, and they're just,
I know. What's your breakfast now?
Wheat-Bix. Just three Wheat-Bix.
Mine's raw oats. Overnight oats I have.
Oh, you soak them?
Yeah, soak them in an almond milk overnight and then put a bit of cinnamon on and a bit of Greek yogurt.
You're like an Amish person. And then, get your oats.
What?
Well, they would eat that kind of stuff. They would eat oats.
Oh, come on. If you go to a big hotel, they're going to have some raw oats, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd reckon.
And then a little bit of coolie.
Ooh, yum. I used to have toast every morning, but I've stopped having that. I only have that on the weekends now.
See, that's your carbs. That's your bread.
Getting out of your carbs. Yeah. I have enough carbs.
So Kellogg's American?
Yes. Developed by, I read a book once, and this is where I reckon I've got a bit of an indication of where this is going. I read this great book, which was turned into a movie, which didn't do that well. It was called The Road to Wellville by T. Corrigus and Boyle, who's a great writer. Anyway, he wrote this book about Dr. Kellogg. And how he, about his life, and he competed with his brother. It was really weird. But, and it was sort of based on, he sort of writes some of these books that are sort of a bit based on facts. Because I remember looking up thinking, oh, this can't be true. But Dr. Kellogg had all these ideas about, he set up a sanitarium and stuff like that. He believed that if you were unwell, you just needed to go into a room and lie down, you know, in a clean space with no distractions and stuff like that. But he also believed in exercise. He believed in enemas and he believed in healthy eating as well. I think he was big into the enemas. Yeah.
Into the enemas.
Mm.
Or like colonic irrigation.
Yeah, he's into that too. By my memory, I've got a vague memory.
I don't
see
any point in the colonic irrigation because it's kind of like you're cleaning it out, but you're going to fill it back up with crap. If there's crap in there, you're just going to refill it back up again.
Well, a friend of the show, Kate Langbrook, gets it done quite often. She talks about it on the radio.
But some people say it clears your head.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I have a friend, an actress, well known actress. No, I won't say who it is. But when she has to do highly emotional scenes, she says, okay, I'm telling you this. And she says,
give us the colonic.
Well, she says it's very good to do them after you've been to the toilet.
Oh.
You're actually completely
free.
Free. So there's a tip if you've got a big meeting coming up, something that's a little bit hard, you want to have all your cogs working because your body isn't thinking about digestion, it's not thinking about.
Yeah, but my tip would be that if you've got a meeting coming up and you want to get through it, don't go to the toilet because then you'll have you'll be inspired to finish the meeting quickly.
Break out into a sweat halfway through. Jeez, Dave looked a bit jumpy peaky. Today at the meeting.
Looked a bit peaky.
Yeah, and he had run off.
There's nothing worse when you need to go to the toilet and you're sitting in a meeting or something like that, or doing a gig.
I reckon Dr. Kellogg?
Dr. Kellogg, yeah.
And Colonel Sanders would have hung out. I don't know why I think that.
Just dodgy ideas.
They probably
were
mates at school, and they go, "What's your idea? I'm going to do chicken. I'm going to do cereal. And I reckon cereals. And I'm going to do drive-through. I'm going to do takeaway. I'm going to go the healthy system, Dr. Kellogg.
Yeah. Well, the colonel is a proper colonel. I've seen that on a trivia competition before. He's actually a colonel. So in the state of Kentucky, it's like being a lord or a sir. He's actually been named a colonel by the government.
7 herbs and spices.
11.
11. You're correct. 11.
11 secret herbs and spices.
Challenging you on the numbers. 11 herbs and spices.
Well, yeah, cornflakes. I don't know what else to say about cornflakes except
I look.
Even the idea of them is great. I reckon they're a bit like KFC. When you get them, they're not that great. But the idea of it is when you think about them, you have good memories, don't you? You go.
There's something about the smooth with the crunch. And if you gave it to me with a bit of banana, now Seinfeld talks about you've got to ration your banana across. You always got to have one bit of banana left. With a few cornflakes and a bit of milk.
Yeah, it's true.
And then do you pick the bowl up? And do you
drink out of it?
Yeah, not a good look.
Kids do that. My kids do that. And we tell them off. But if I'm by myself. Yeah. Especially if you've had Cocoa Pops because the milk's beautiful.
There's an idea for a show. Things you do by yourself that you wouldn't otherwise admit to. Yes. I mean, we all know. Well, we're about to talk about it. There's a good link.
Okay, masturbation. Well, I don't know. I've never done that. So over to you, Glenn.
I've read about it. I have a theory on it. A friend of mine was having problems with because I have this theory, and
I find if I'm doing an acting scene, it's good to do it
before
I go out there and act.
Well, you
I don't subscribe to this toilet one that your female actress said.
Well,
I'm more about if I'm about to do an acting scene. Give me a minute in the trailer.
If you were about to do a sex scene, might be better off to
take the pressure off.
Take the pressure off.
But if you were doing a sex scene, have you ever done a sex scene?
Done scenes that are not sex scenes, but they're not fun. I did a lot with Kat and Kathy and Kim. Well, they weren't sex scenes, but they were intimate.
So was sort of
having
intimate.
Sex in a car and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but if you were doing like a proper sex scene where you had to get with a woman or a
man. Hang on, what's a proper sex scene? You don't mean pornography.
Well, you mean not pornography. I mean just taking your clothes off and being in bed.
And being the way you are when you're intimate.
Yeah, that'd be very confronting.
Very confronting. So the way to get around it is to be a version of yourself. Otherwise, yeah. You don't want to be completely vulnerable because then it's just too hard. And you get in trouble when you get home anyway. You're just going to get into trouble.
You would.
You never pull that face with me.
Yeah. You'd fast forward through that bit at home. Anyway, we don't need to watch this.
You don't worry about this. Yeah. I told you at that time I lent my mum DVD that had a masturbation scene in it.
Oh, what?
And I said.
What DVD is this?
It was Little Children. Pretty sure it's Little Children. You know that film, Little Children?
No.
Anyway, there's a scene where a guy
I'm looking forward gets to
his
seeing
com- he gets a comp- he pulls his computer out and then he
right
does the job. So anyway, mum was cool with that, but then my auntie Roma was coming over and they were going to show the movie. And I said, this is back in the days when you had it was on VCR, I think.
Yes.
And I said, mum, when you get to that scene, perhaps auntie Roma might get a little bit upset if she sees the masturbating scene.
Fast forward.
I said, fast forward. No, it was a DVD, that's right. So then the masturbating scene came up and mum dived for the remote and then went to go fast forward but went chapter forward instead of fast forward.
Oh, no.
So she's gone, bang, jumped forward. And Aunty Roma said, well, why'd you do that for? Oh, just because there's something that you don't need to see. No, I want the whole story. So mum had to go back because she wasn't great with it. So she went back and then instead of pressing play, she pressed pause and then this guy's just quivering on the screen, wanking away. Oh, she starts screaming. They had to go get the scotch bottle to settle down.
Oh, you know, hey, Roma.
But look, I have a theory on masturbation because I think when you
– yeah.
I think that if you –
what do Woody Allen say? Finally, I make love to someone I really love.
Yeah. Well, stop masturbating. What's the other joke? Stop masturbating, you'll go blind. Well, can I just do it until I need glasses?
I don't know that one. That's a good one.
Yeah. That you're no, there's no, you have no worth unless you are spreading your. This goes in terms of male.
Oh.
So evolution goes, well, if you're not producing eggs, sperm, what use are you? I'm going to make you go old. Because when you're out on the savannah running around, it'll give. So if you're masturbating, it will give you the strength to still survive. Whereas if you're not, they go, well, you're not spreading your seed. And then we may as well just let you get old and give you a disease and let you grow old and die. So what I'm saying is if you get caught masturbating, you say to your partner, I'm just trying to stay young.
Well, there are studies being done on that kind of thing. So you think the cavemen were at it a lot and the shepherds and stuff?
Yeah.
Constantly.
Well, the cavemen had a cave to go into for a start.
Yes.
Where do you go for the special time? Up the back, in the dark, up the back.
Up the back.
Just don't bang your head on the top because the cave gets a bit low off the back.
The shepherds in their huts. You can imagine.
And masturbation in reference to researchers. Look, I'm going to quote some research here that I read the other day.
You're an expert.
That it's not. Because they say that masturbation through pornography is damaging to intimacy.
Yeah, right.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think if teenagers and stuff are watching hardcore porn and they think that's how you interact, well, I'm talking about boys here.
Yeah.
If that's how you interact with women, they're getting the wrong message.
That's right. It's like
because
watching professional tennis players and then going and then you go to well, that's how you play tennis or that's how you play golf. It's not like that once you get out there.
No. But I think if you're watching something that is more realistic, that's fine. As long as no one gets hurt, no one's exploited.
What about, and I've never tried it.
Oh. In a car? No.
I had a friend of mine who did it. Was driving.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I think I know who that is. On the ring road, he said it was so boring. Are you talking about a comedian?
Yeah, tapping your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time. How can you drive and think about and fantasize about when you're driving?
Oh, no, that's bad. That's worse than being on a mobile phone.
Because if the police pulled you up and said, were you on your phone? No, I was wanking. You go, right, that's 4 points.
No, they have to look in their book. Sarge, is there a fine for that?
No, I was only doing it this morning and I'm fine. No.
Yeah, it was on the Western Ring Road in Melbourne. He said it was so boring. Yeah, and I think we were doing a show with him and he admitted it on stage. Pretty sure.
I mean, I've done other things. Well,
you haven't done it in the park. Let's not talk about that. You can't bring that up.
Yeah. Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I've never. What about the will you choke yourself?
Oh, yeah. That's Michael Hutchins.
Yeah. So you, masturbate and you choke yourself.
Yeah.
And you go into another realm of orgasm.
That's bad.
It's a very dangerous thing to do.
Very, very bad.
Auto asphyxiation.
Sam just kicked in.
Hang on. She was a bit. We thought you'd left the room.
Yeah. Auto asphyxiation.
She's listening the whole time. So, look, Sam, you brought it up, okay? So don't be upset that we are talking about it.
Yeah, no, that's a whole other level, getting into that kind of stuff. I've never thought about that, doing that.
In reference to, and I am not an expert when it comes to this, but we shouldn't be just coming from a male perspective.
Yeah.
From a female perspective.
Yeah.
It's got to be quiet.
It's going to be quiet. Well, you know what? When we grew up, we thought what we're talking about was just a male thing. We didn't realize that women did it. We had no idea.
Did you
have any idea that?
No,
not at all.
Oh, but now.
I reckon in the whole 70s, I didn't. And it certainly wasn't into. Remember, Mum would give you that book, Where Do I Come From?
I know, I didn't.
Remember that book, Where Do I Come From?
Yeah, I know the book, but I never got it.
Yeah, it was more my generation. We got Where Do I Come From? And it was all about babies and stuff. And then you went and saw one film in grade six that had sperm floating on a screen and a bloke with a beard. But they never talked about masturbation.
Is that a bloke in a white coat?
Yeah, a bloke in a white coat. He's from the Ponds Institute.
Yeah.
Talking about sex and stuff like that. Then you drive home in silence with your parents in the car. But no one ever said, hey, you know what, guys? Masturbation is natural. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Well, as a friend of mine said, the quality of the skin on my penis is so good because the amount of olive oil of ewe lamb that I've from my mum's cabin.
Yeah, who does that joke about Tom Segert, isn't it? Who said he uses his wife's, what is it? And anyway, the punchline is your penis is glowing in the dark.
Well, someone I know, okay, it was me. When first going into the realm of that.
God, this would have been the early 70s. We'll get your picture of Farrah Fawcett on
the wall. Okay, look, I'm being honest. This is like...
Who did you idolise? Like, let's just call it that. When you were in that realm, what woman would you... Because we grew up in a similar era.
I can tell you who.
Yeah.
Was there a suntan...
One of the Charlie Angels?
Was there a suntan cream called Pisbuin?
Yes.
Well, the Pisbuin, because they used to put out their big posters.
The poster.
And Pisbuin actually sent me a poster for the wall.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
So you like the Pisbuin woman?
Yeah, the Pisbuin.
What about Farrah Fawcett? What about Charlie's Angels?
You know, what about the girls from Petticoat Junction?
Oh, they were cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to love...
What about, what's her name, the one from Gilligan's Island?
Oh.
Not Ginger, the other one.
Yeah, Marianne. Oh, very, yeah. Definitely. I was more Marianne than Ginger. You were Mrs. Howe? Skipper.
I was Mr. Howe.
Gilligan! That's right. Oh, what about I Dream of Jeannie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bewitched.
Yeah.
Those women were very attractive.
Yeah.
We grew up in an era where we didn't have phones. There was no pornography. You really had to struggle to find pornography.
National
Geographic, or some kid would find it scrunched up by the railway line and bring it to school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my brother did have some Playboys.
I think some Playboys in Dad's wardrobe that he said he was keeping for his friends in the Air Force.
Yeah, I know.
Who couldn't get it on the base. He was buying them for them.
The penthouse letter was the ultimate. The penthouse letter. I never thought this would happen to me.
Yeah, but the Swedish water polo team broke down outside my house.
Or I was at the greengrocer shop and the woman next to me was touching the cucumbers in an erotic way. I was going to say.
Truth. Remember Truth newspaper?
Oh, yeah.
With Heart Balm.
Yeah.
And Heart Balm was like a grubbier, shorter version of because my granddad used to buy the Truth newspaper then for the racing guide, you understand. And then he'd hand it on to us. And it was always a page three girl and just racy article and also just weird articles about aliens and stuff. But there was a section called Heart Balm.
Oh, yeah.
Where people would write in their stories like a cheaper version. So, you know, Penthouse was always luxurious. Most of the stories in truth, you know, happen in Bilo or, you know, they were more low rent.
What was the magazine that had the Home Girls? Was it?
No, that's Picture and People magazine.
And that was where people, amateurs,
yeah, would take photos of themselves and send them in. That's right.
Did you ever play the game where you cut those out and you put them in your wallet like that's your girlfriend?
Oh, really? No.
It's and a good game.
And towards the end of Picture magazine, blokes would send in photos. And there was a little sticker on the page saying, "No stiffies, thanks, guys."
Because we used to play a game called No, I'll Get This, which is you would cut out the picture of the guy with the fat stomach and the big penis.
Oh, yeah.
And you put it in your window, the wallet.
Oh, right.
And then you go up to the bar and you go, "I'll get some drinks." And I go, no, I'll get this. And then I open my wallet and I just let you see this picture of a man with a large penis. Marty Shigold used to love that game.
Anyway, great.
Female masturbation.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, now you're talking about dildos, vibrators.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that sort of thing. So that leans towards something that I'm thinking about. But having said that, so they simulate the male penis.
Yeah, right.
And again, pretty hard to live up to what
that's the, right. There's a few comedians that do that joke about, I think, Hughie does it, about how his wife brings back a vibrator from some party or something. He goes, "It's got 12 speeds. I've only got one."
I didn't know this, but a friend of mine told me.
Sure.
There's a thing called a fleshlight.
What, a fleshlight?
A fleshlight.
What's that?
Well, you're the same as me. I said, it's like a flashlight, but it's a simulated vagina of famous porn stars.
Really?
So if you want to.
But does it work?
Well, you put your
thing in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they work, though?
Well, apparently they're based on well-known porn stars, and yeah. I think that would be truthful.
But, or is it just rubber must just be rubber stuff and plastic?
Well, I don't know. Bring up fleshlight.
Wouldn't you worry about that?
That's the biggest selling thing. It's a very big seller.
Really?
I said to a friend of mine, I said, fleshlight? He goes, "Oh, I've got about four of them.
Four of them? Wouldn't you be worried about getting it stuck and then having to go to the hospital? That's always your worry about things like that, isn't it? I don't want to do that, you know. When you're a kid, vacuum cleaner, you know. Oh, I don't want to be the guy who goes to the hospital.
I don't think, could you really get something stuck on your penis? If you get something stuck
up your backside. That's possible.
Up the backside. So.
I don't know. Well, we should have some thinking music.
Yeah, but, what sort of music would you have?
Oh, you know what? We should find, the Rolling Stones did a rice bubble ad or a snack crackle. They did a cereal ad.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Many.
I thought you were going to do it. You did a masturbation.
Keith and Mick, they did a ad for, I think it's rice bubbles. Yeah. I'll have a bit of that and then we'll come back.
Sure. Pour on the milk and listen to the sound that says it's nice. Pour on the milk and listen to the crackle of that rice. Get up in the morning to the pub that says it's rice. Hear them talking crisp. Rice Krispies.
Rice Krispies. Yeah, well, yeah, that sounds great ad.
Why would they do that?
I think it was early on in their career. But it's the Rolling Stones. I don't think it's a sound alike.
And they're going, "You're doing all this great music."
Well, someone must have written that song too.
It's a jingle.
I know, but someone must have.
Who was the band that did Coles? That was Status Quo.
Status Quo. But they said it like resurrected their. I met the guy whose idea that was, by the way.
How was your.
Simon works at Coles. It's his idea.
What, the guy who works at Coles? He told you what department
he came. Coles? Well, you know how I was the voice of Coles Express for a while, quite some time. Oh, I was the voice of Coles Express.
Could you do the voice now?
Getting the Coles Express. Got some. Oh, I can't do it anymore. I'm not getting paid anymore. Anyway,
I can do Uncle Arthur's voiceover if you wanted.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, we'll do that. It'd be more expensive though. Yeah, anyway, expensive. He came to one of my comedy festival shows, and I used to talk about, "Hey, I'm the voice of Coles Express," and he stood up and he goes, "Simon here from Coles Express." And I'm like, "Oh," because he's quite a character, this guy.
Mm.
And he's very high up in the Coles empire. And I go, "Oh, Simon, you gave me the job." And I go, "Now tell everyone, were you the guy who did a down, down, price to down?" He goes, "Yep, that was my idea." People started booing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, Status Quo. But Status Quo said it resurrected them in Australia, that ad.
Really? Who are you going to go see tonight? Oh, the guys from the Coles ad. Who are they? I don't know who they're called, but they do the prices down song. Prices are down. And do you reckon they would do that song in their gig? And then would they throw that lyric in?
I don't reckon. Oh, they might as a joke. I don't know. Anyway. It would take a lot to, you know, the Beatles never, they were never going to, but I think they've sold a few songs now for movies and stuff. You see occasionally, they never used to sell their songs, but now they do.
Mm. Okay, we've come to the moment where we had to join. This is for me.
It's quite confronting.
It is confronting.
Confronting.
But I think we handled it appropriately.
I think we did. Well, I'll have a crack. I think I know.
I'll go first because I reckon you've got more on it than I have.
I think because I read that book. Yeah, I read that book about 10 years ago.
Because I reckon you're going to be close. Let me get mine out of the way because I've got no idea, but I'm going to shoot wide here.
So to speak.
Hey, that's the first joke we've done in that department.
Yeah. You've done well.
Yeah. I'm going to say that, this is bad, that cornflakes come from, what do they come from? They don't come from corn on the cob, do they?
Yeah.
Please say they do.
They're corn, aren't they?
Yes.
So it must be corn crushed down and then fried or baked probably.
Okay. This is what I'm saying.
Should we ask Sam what is a cornflake? How is a cornflake made?
Okay, how is a cornflake made?
How is a cornflake made, Sam?
Cornflakes are made from small toasted flakes of corn or maize flour.
Thanks, Sam. So it is. It's toasted maize, which is corn, isn't it? That's corn flour. So that's just corn crushed down and toasted.
So it's like corn on the cob.
Yeah.
Okay. A corn on the cob to me, call me crazy, is a phallic symbol.
Oh.
So maybe in ye old days, right?
Mm.
Maybe they used a corn on the cob for sex aid.
What?
Well, look.
Crazy.
But
you had to tell me something, I know.
What are you going to do? An old bone or something? What are you going to use as a
corn cob. Fair enough.
Corn. Well, I suppose you could use a cucumber.
Yeah.
Carrot. And they used it for when the men were away at.
Ah, corn cob.
At war.
Yeah, right.
What are you going to do tonight? Might stay in with the corn.
Corny.
Okay, but look, Sam made us go there, so
yeah.
I don't feel bad about saying that.
No, I don't feel bad.
Yeah. But I think your answer would be more logical.
No, I think Kellogg, only because I know about Dr. Kellogg, I'm pretty sure he was anti-masturbation. Or he's either anti or he was either very anti or very pro-masturbation. So it's got something to do with that.
What would it have to do with cornflakes?
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
So you're thinking that he's inventing?
I'm just thinking maybe cornflakes were just invented as a distraction from masturbation.
Yeah. So in other words, if you're at home by yourself, you go, I wouldn't mind.
Oh, I wouldn't mind
banging one out. And then you spy the Kellogg's again. You know what?
Even though
maybe you can have both. Though,
maybe for Cocoa Pops, not for cornflakes.
Okay, look, in fairness to us, I think you're closer than I am.
All right.
In fairness to us, Sam, you're going to have to
help us out.
Put us out of our misery, please.
Dr. John Kellogg, the inventor of cornflakes, was feverishly pro-abstinence so much so he refused to sleep with his wife and maintained separate rooms in their house with their adopted children. Callum believed the answer to abstinence was a healthy diet, but believing that more flavorsome foods encourage sexual activity, he came up with two breakfast staples that he believed would curb sexual impulses because they were so bland. Kellogg partnered with his brother and Michigan's Battle Creek Sanitarium Company to sell the cereal Corn Flakes Sanitarium, and his brother wanted to add sugar, but Kellogg refused. The cereal was then sold under the Kellogg family name.
Wow, there you go.
It's a bit of it's a long road between
a
bowl of cornflakes and not masturbating. He sounds like he's got some major issues there.
What
an idiot. Sleep with his wife. And he goes,
imagine the wedding night. All right, sweetheart, you ready? Okay, we've got some cornflakes for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Darling, what about consummating? What about a bowl of cornflakes instead? God.
What a sad man. But he was really.
He was a doctor, was he?
Yeah, I think he's a medical doctor. But it is a really interesting read if you read about him. He's fascinating. And he fought with his brother. Yeah, he fought with his brother. They set up two different companies.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So they're still out there, Dr. Kellogg would no longer be with us, would he?
Tell you what I feel like now. Bowl of cornflakes, Glenn. My shout.
The problem is, okay, now people listen to this podcast, and thank you for listening. The next time,
They're doing
they're,
it.
They're masturbating. You're going to think about cornflakes.
Yeah.
And you don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
You don't want to be thinking about soggy cornflakes. You want to be thinking about the sexual.
Because also, when you think about cereals, there's no real titillation there. You got the monkey from Cocoa Pops. You got Snap, Crackle, and Pop. They're not exactly hot. You know what I mean? Who else have you got? Not a lot.
No. Who was that?
There was a rooster in cornflakes.
There was some Freddy Fruit Loop or something.
Oh, yeah. There's a Fruit Loop. There's a tiger.
The tiger. That is pretty horny, yeah, though. The
tiger's pretty hot. Yeah. Ooh, I better get going.
Okay, I've now come clean. I have to tell you something.
Yeah.
Okay, because all bets are off. This did happen to me. I was venturing into that world.
Right.
And
the world of cornflakes.
No, the world of as they call nature's little sleeping tablet.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Because you know,
puts you to sleep.
Yeah, if you're in a place, yeah, puts you to sleep. I discovered that you needed some sort of assistance in the lubricating area.
Oh,
and in the kitchen cabinet. Can't believe I'm saying this. We had some Vaseline. Would that be correct?
Vaseline is a classic thing for that kind of thing.
So things went well.
Oh.
And then another day I went, I didn't look properly.
Oh, no.
And I went for the Vicks Vaporub.
Oh, Vicks Vaporub.
Look, it was good and bad. It burned a lot, but it cleared up that chesty cough that I had.
Deep heat.
Oh, deep heat on the, not so bad on the penis, but on the balls.
Terrible.
So kids out there.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Just, you know, because I believe that, is this right? Because our generation don't have foreskins. Do you? No. I believe that masturbation is easier with a foreskin.
Oh, really? Yes. Must ask someone. Can we ask? Well, I can ask Sam. We'll go on the street and find a young person. Excuse me, mate.
So what I'm saying is you don't need lubricant if you
have
a foreskin. I don't know.
Wow. I'm learning stuff every day.
I'm also, you know the other one, which is, uh-huh, when you fall asleep on your hand and it goes numb.
Oh, yeah, that was like an old myth when you were a kid. But that doesn't work.
Doesn't it?
Does. I've got to go try a few things now. I've got to go.
I know, but one more.
Yeah.
What about when some males and mainly females, when the washing machine is on the spin cycle.
It vibrates, yeah.
If you lean up against it the right way, you know.
That and an off-balance dishwasher. Yeah. Good suggestions.
That's something to think about.
Oh, definitely.
Well, because, again, also when, like, you have a thing called a traveller's.
Oh, really?
Which is an erection you get on corrugated roads.
Really?
I don't know. I would imagine it to be the same with women.
Is that a farmer's thing?
Well, it's a Russell Coit thing.
Oh, it's Russell Coit. Got a traveller's.
It is. If you go on corrugated roads for a long time.
It'll.
A friend of mine was up Northern Territory, and he really had an erection like the whole time.
Also bad for hemorrhoids too, you'd reckon. All that bouncing about on your bum. Oh, I don't think it'd be good.
What are we pulling over for? Oh, corrugated roads again. Okay, no worries. Go behind the tree.
Yeah.
Oh, we can see you.
Get some cornflakes.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.